July 1942. Actor Harrison Ford, best known for Cowboys and Aliens, was born in Chicago, Illinois. The film The Magnificent Ambersons, directed by Orson Welles, was released in theaters. And Superman kidnaps a man, all for the love of baseball. It all happens in the next issue of Action Comics.
Greetings, super friends, and welcome back to Reaction Comics. It's been a little bit of a while, right? It's been over a month since you last heard from me. I had some built-in excuses and some, you know, laziness. Built-in excuse. Drove my mother-in-law back from Florida to Massachusetts, so that took a week. Okay. Laziness, there were times where in between there I could have done something. Built an excuse. My wife had back surgery. That's a good one, right? I mean, not for her, but in general, it's a good excuse, right? For not putting a new episode up. That was 2 weeks ago. Wait a minute. I did the Florida thing, came back the next weekend. We had a wedding. Then it was like a week later. Yeah, she had the back surgery. She is on the slow road to recovery, but she is doing okay. And I thought, you know what? Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Going to sit down and record an episode and talk some Superman and Action Comics. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to wake up tomorrow and realize what I did with my evening. But yeah, just a long way of saying, I'm sorry it's been a while. But hey, you know, real life happens, but all good, all good. You know, she's slowly but surely getting back to life, back to reality. And then she's got summer vacation. So this kind of leads her right into a nice long chunk of time off where hopefully by the end of the summer, you know, we'll be both doing like somersaults and some sort of gymnastics team. I have no idea where I'm going with that. That's my way of saying hopefully by the end of the summer things will be great and she'll be ready to go for the fall to go back to work. What does that have to do with Action Comics? Absolutely nothing, except when she's all good and all fixed and all feeling great, I'll feel super. Come on, that's got to be worth something, right? All right, enough of that. Let's jump into it. It's been a while since we've talked Action Comics, since we talked Superman. Obviously, since the last time I think I talked to you guys, James Gunn put the photo out of our new Superman, lazily putting on a boot while something's exploding in the background. I know people had joked about it, and everyone critiques the suit. Or, you know, they pick it apart, not critique it in a bad way, but just critique it in a, let's analyze this and that and look different parts from different versions of Superman over the years. I'm just excited we're getting Superman. That's all I care about. And that to me is the number one important thing, is that we're getting a new Superman. We're getting a Superman movie. And I just, I'm just excited. And I cross my hands. I hold my breath and I say, I hope it's excellent. To be honest, I'll probably love it no matter what. But I hope the rest of the world is as smart and as cool and as cute as me, and they love it too. Now, let's jump into this. Action Comics number 50. Let's not waste any more time. This is as we know, Action Comics is a comic still that does all kinds of stories. But Superman is their number one main attraction. Superman is always on the cover, as he is today. I like to talk about the cover, and I'm not sure this cover, I like to see if it has anything to do with the story, and I don't think it does. I did read this issue originally back when, on a day off in Florida, while waiting to go out to dinner with my mother-in-law. It was, we did like a late dinner. It was like 4:15 p.m. And while I was waiting, we had some time. So I read this issue, but I don't remember seeing what I'm seeing on the cover here, which is, it seems like there's a mine collapsing and there are a bunch of miners with their miner hats on, with the lights on, and there's the roof beam collapsing and Superman is holding it up with all his strength. So let's jump into this issue and see how many people Superman saves from a mine. So the next scene we see is Superman catching a baseball. Okay. I'm pretty sure this is a mostly baseball based episode, which, begs to wonder why the cover was what it was, but we see a big splash panel, Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. We see what looks to be a stadium below, really far below, that someone hit a baseball very high, and Superman is cheating, jumping up to go and catch it. It says, "Beyond doubt, America's most popular sport is baseball." Now that's in 1942. That is absolutely true. I always, today, I want my Red Sox to do good. It's been a few years, but I don't have the same excitement, especially regular season, for just baseball in general. I still love my sports. I've been following my Bruins, watching them lose, following my Celtics, watching them continue to win. And, I enjoyed the Patriots for 20 years. I'll still enjoy them. I just don't think I'll enjoy them as much. But baseball to me has just, the interest of it, it's waned over the years as I've grown older and, obviously more mature. But back in back when I was a kid, it was like everything. Baseball was the number one sport to me. And back in 1942, it was absolutely the number one sport in pretty much all of America. So it says, "Beyond doubt, America's most popular sport is baseball. When Clark Kent and Lois Lane encounter a youth who possesses outstanding ability in this sport, they strive to get him into the big time with unforeseen results. Things reach such a complicated state that it is necessary for the amazing Superman to step in and adjust matters in his own inimitable way." So, okay, seems like Clark and Lois are really trying to get someone to play baseball, and then Superman has to get involved. This doesn't seem like a, world ending cataclysmic event, but you never know. So we jump over and we see Perry White talking to Clark and Lois. He's in the newspaper. He's got a big cigarette hanging out of his mouth. "Clark, I want you to go to Lauderdale, Florida, and send back reports on how the Metropolis baseball team looks in the training camp." "That's an assignment I'll enjoy." "Please, White, let me go too," Lois said. I like that he calls it Lauderdale, Florida, and not Fort Lauderdale. I don't know the history of things in general. So is it Lauderdale and there's a place there with a fort, so they call it Fort Lauderdale and then it just became Fort Lauderdale? Because I fly into Fort Myers when I go see my mother-in-law. I don't fly into Myers. I don't know. But Clark's going to Lauderdale, Florida. Maybe that's a fake town in DC world, but it seems like Clark is all excited, but Lois wants to go too. But Clark's like, "You go, but baseball is a man's game." Lois says, "That's what you think. There are thousands and thousands of female fans who would enjoy reading a feminine slant on what goes on at the training camp." And Perry's like, "I think Lois has something there." Later, aboard a train bound for Lauderdale, "Well, Clark, it looks like you couldn't get rid of me even if you wanted to." Clark says, the train appears to be stopping. She's like on his pay no mind list. She says, "We may be here 15 minutes. What say we stop into the station for a bite?" 15 minutes and they're going to stop at a restaurant? And Clark says, Castle Ridge, huh? Looks like a typical small town. Several moments later, they're in a diner. They have a coffee. They have a sandwich. There's a chef just standing there. And the train leaves. Clark, the train's pulling out. He's like, what? Like, what did you expect was going to happen? 15 minutes. Go get a take a tinkle and, you know, maybe see if you can get a quick drink. But don't sit down at a restaurant. The train's gone. And Clark says, train will be here for 15 minutes, huh? Lois, you got us in a fine mess. Oh, so it actually left quicker than 15 minutes. So they didn't even know how long the train was going to be there. And Lois said, let's go to a sit-down restaurant and have a meal. You think someone on the train would be like, be back on the train in 10 minutes. That's when we'll be taken off. But no, nobody says that at all. So Lois is like, don't be like that. We'll be out of this hick town in no time. Wow, that's nice. Clark says, I hope so. They go up to the ticket booth. And Lois says, when will the next train for Lauderdale arrive? In 2 hours. 2 hours, Clark's enraged. 2 hours. I'm like, really? You get 2 hours to just sit? That's nice. She says, if you don't stop complaining, I'll get off this bench and not speak another word to you. Wait, so he says 2 hours. Then the next panel, they're on a bench and she's getting mad. And he says, but I only said, he didn't say anything. He said 2 hours. Then they walked over to the bench and sat down. I guess then she yelled at him. I don't know. All of a sudden, Clark notices a sudden glint of interest appears in Clark's eye as he notes what is occurring across the tracks. What is it? There is an altercation between two baseball teammates. Really? This is so it just so happens they're going to see spring training. And now they just happen to see a local baseball game going on right by the train. Interesting. So he sees this. There seems to be two players talking to an umpire. The ump says, time for the game to start. And one of the players says, but what's the use of starting at all? If Stan plays against us, we haven't a chance of winning. So why play in the first place? You can't back down now. So these guys are going to play this game, but they're so afraid of Stan that they don't even want to play. But the game begins. But the reason for the reluctance of one of the teams to play is evident when Stan on the pitching mound rapidly strikes out one man after another. How about the other team just sucks? Could be that. So not even one opponent even comes close to touching a ball. The guy slams down a bat and says, I give up this farce of a game. And then he lights up a cigarette, has a bourbon, and says, I'm going to go back to my job. So that didn't happen. He says, I give up this farce of a game. And Lois says, say, that pitcher's good. Clark says, good. He's marvelous. Let's go talk to him. So they go over to talk to this guy, and he's just chilling now. Looks like he's chilling in the bullpen, just kind of resting, got his arm up on one knee. And Clark says, you really can heave the ball. Ever thought of taking up baseball as a profession? He says, you mean trying to make a living at it? Yeah, that's what he meant. He goes, nah, and I couldn't be bothered with such foolishness. Foolishness? With that control of yours, you could make a fortune. Nope, not interested. Why? Yes, why? He says, some planting to be done. Couldn't think of leaving the farm till it was taken care of. So he's like, I don't want to be, a baseball player because there's planting to be done and I don't want to leave the family farm. You know, there's something to be said to that. He's very responsible. He feels like he owes a debt of gratitude. I almost said a debt of gratitude. He has a debt of gratitude for his parents, I guess. I assume he's living with his parents. So he's like, sorry, I got to work the farm. I need to do that instead of play baseball. Well, the next train for Lauderdale comes and goes, and Clark and Lois don't get on. Lois says, there must be a hotel around here somewhere. Clark says, we've got to convince that boy he has a career ahead of him. That evening, Clark removes his outer garments, transforming himself to Superman. That boy's a natural. Along the dark country road, he speeds towards the farm of Stan's parents. So the planting has to be done, huh? He arrives, he seizes the great bundles of seed and swings them overhead. Perhaps I can be of assistance. Excuse me, how the hell does Clark know where Stan's parents' farm is? Did he say, my farm over a block past Maple? Like, did he tell him the address? did Superman just kind of watch him with his great vision go home? I don't know how he did it, how he figured it out, but he goes, breaks into their farm, takes a bunch of seed, and goes back and forth across the great farm. He races, and he's burrowing ditches. He's like, the first step. So he crashes. He's like digging ditches with his hands. Then, retracing his steps, he plants the seeds at record speed. He says, I could clean up renting myself as a human tractor. Until moments later, the job that ordinarily would have taken weeks is complete. He stands back by a tree and goes, there, not so bad. The next morning, Stan and his parents receive an outstanding surprise, or an astounding surprise. The dad says, glory be. The grandmother, or the mother says, it can't be. And then the dad keels over from having a heart attack. But he says, that didn't happen. He says, the farm tilled. This is Stan now. He goes, and the seeds are planted. When Clark and Lois arrive later to attempt to once again reason with Stan, they receive a different sort of reception. He's like, sure, I'll go to Lauderdale for a tryout at the training camp. Clark says, you mean to say your farm was seeded overnight? Lois says, sounds like the work of Superman. So this would have taken weeks. It happened. They did it. All done. I guess he has nothing to do. And now he can leave his parents and be like, bye, Mom and Dad. I'm going to be a baseball player. Remember when you... Oh, so I guess they're at the they're back at the train. Oh, no, they're not at the train. Now Clark and Lois are getting on the train. And they say, remember, when you reach the training camp, ask for Clark Kent. Goodbye, Stan. See you in about a week, Mr. Kent. So they get on the train, they go, and arriving at Lauderdale, Clark immediately praises Stan to the skies, to the Metropolis Ravens manager. And Clark says, but this lad is a wonder. He says, and so is every other baseball struck kid supposed to be. Don't bother me with that nonsense. So the manager couldn't even say, you know what? I'll take 10 minutes to see what he can do. He just says, you know what? I don't trust you, reporter. Don't give me a chance. Like, this could save this idiot's career. But instead, he says, don't bother with that. But one evening, Clark sees Jack Standish, one of the Ravens' star performers, in a street brawl. So we go from the stadium, one line, then boom. Now Clark's walking, roaming the streets, sees a baseball player getting a brawl. And Clark's like, nothing much has been happening at training camp. Perhaps this ought to rate a few paragraphs. So the next morning, Clark writes a story about that, and the player's like, what's the idea of printing this story? Clark says, I only printed the facts. And the players grab him and say, if you ever set foot in this camp again, I'll really lose my temper. Clark's like, stop. I won't stand for this humiliation. Throws him out of the training camp, out of the facility, and stay out. And Lois is in trouble again, and Clark is landing, like his feet are, it looks like he's doing a backspin breakdancing. His feet are flow up in the air. His feet are thrown up in the air. He's on his back. It is humiliating. Later that day, Stan Dvorak arrives at training camp. And do you remember what Stan was told to say? Well, he did, because he's looking at these players, and one of the players says, so you're the friend of this no good Clark Kent? Get out of this training camp and don't come back. So we see we're back at the train now, and Lois and Clark are walking along, and they see Stan, and they're like, look who's coming. And Stan says, so there you are. Bam! Punches Clark right in the friggin' chin, knocks his socks off. Well, at least he thought he knocked his socks off. And Lois says, why'd you do that? Stan says, he made me come all the way to Lauderdale for nothing. I'm going back to Castle Ridge, where I belong. Clark's like, ow, my chin. Lois says, Stan, wait. You mustn't. You may still get a break. He says, I know when I've been a fool. I'm taking the first train back. And Clark, remember, he just got punched from Stan. Lois goes back to Clark and says, he's gone. Gone, and it's your fault. And he says, but he didn't give me a chance to fix things. You've fixed things enough already. Slap! Now she slaps him across the face. Ouch! And she says, please don't speak to me. And she walks off. Lois slapped Clark because some rando dude didn't get a fair shake at training camp, who just showed up off a train, didn't get a chance. Lois is really invested in this kid, it's a little disturbing. So Clark's alone now, and he goes, this looks like Clark Kent has been the cause of a beautiful mess. Takes off his undergarments, takes off his hat, his glasses, peels off everything, and then says, but maybe Superman can make everything okay. Oh, he loves, and I like, there should be a person walking by and be like, what did you just say? Down toward the Castle Ridge bound train streaks the Man of Steel. So now Clark is chasing the train. Clark says, he'll not pass up an important career if I can help it. So Clark is like, I'm not letting him take no for an answer. Or Superman, I'm sorry. He says, he is going to try out for this baseball team if I have to drag his carcass back to the diamond myself. Within the Pullman car, you see Stan, he's looking out over this bridge. There's a lot of water. He's like, what a sap. What a sap I was to listen to those reporters. Clinging to the side of the train, Superman performs an amazing stunt. He opens a Pullman window, or a Pullman window. Fred Allen would get a kick out of this. I don't know what that means. Is Fred Allen a reference to, like, something to do with trains? I really don't know, but Superman seems to be breaking into a train, and oh my God. The legitimate next panel says, whoa, and Superman literally just pulls Stan out of the train, kidnaps him completely. So he opens the window, and the next shot you see is just this guy's legs falling out of the train. And Superman says, you're coming with me. And now they're on the top of what can only look like, it looks like, is it Devil's Canyon from Close Encounters of a Third Kind? Like that flat mountaintop. Superman has this guy on top of this, and Stan says, what kind of strange person are you? And Superman says, I'm known as Superman, and I often use my tremendous powers to help people. Would you like to be a big league pitcher? That is what Superman is dealing with, helping one person become a big league pitcher. The guy's like, yeah, but Superman says, well, you'll never become one by merely wishing, and jumps away with him. Unnoticed by guards, Manager Fletcher has posted about the camp. The Man of Tomorrow easily hurdles over the heads into the camp. So he basically breaks into this training camp with this guy who's not invited, not wanted there. Maybe he's good, but that's not really how you do it, Superman. He jumps over, they jump over. These guards are just standing there. And Stan's like, but I still don't. And Superman says, shh, like, shut the hell up, dude. I'm breaking you in here. Minutes later in the deserted locker room there, he took someone's uniform, just put it on this guy. He goes, there, you have a uniform now. Go out there and show them what you really can do. And Stan's like, okay, Mr. Superman, but I sure feel shaky about this whole thing. You should feel shaky. This is a terrible idea. So Stan nervously emerges onto the playing field. And he's like, uh-oh, Fletcher's looking my way. He's seen me. And all of a sudden, a guard says, hey, there's that rube you ordered off the place. Shall I throw him out? And Stan's like, so he disregarded, or not Stan, the manager, Fletcher says, so he disregarded my orders, eh? No, don't throw him out. I have a better idea. I'll humiliate him by putting him up against my best batters. Will he look silly? So his idea, this guy has amazing eyebrows, by the way. His big idea is to let the guy who wants to pitch for you pitch for you. So, okay, great. I'll make him feel stupid by giving him exactly what he wants. So over on top of a dugout or on top of the roof, Superman is up there watching creepily by himself. He says, fine. Unless my acute hearing deceives me, Stan is going to get the break he deserves. So now Stan's like, you mean you're going to give me a chance to pitch? And now it's weird because it says, that's right, son. Now go in there. And in parentheses, it says, and make a fool of yourself. But the entire bubble has those little bubbles, like the speech bubble has the bubbles going up to them. You know, like when it's someone talking, it's a little line. But when it's someone thinking, it's little bubbles. Well, it's little bubbles. So if this is correct, if this, follows the rules of comic books, he didn't say anything to this guy. The guy says, "You give me a chance to pitch." And Fletcher just looks at him and he thinks, "That's right, son. Now you go in there." And then he thinks even more and make a big fool of yourself. It would have been funnier if he thought the first part and said the second part. So as Jack Standish steps into the batter's box, he can't prevent a smirk of anticipation from crossing his features. So he has a big smile on his face. His face definitely looks baseballish. I'm trying to think, is it like Ted Williams-y face? I can't tell, but he definitely looks like a old-timey baseball player. And he says, "I'll smack that ball so close to the pitcher, he'll jump sky high." So now this guy's deliberately going to try to hit the pitcher with his ball. But as Standish swings for the oncoming ball, it unexpectedly drops in a curve and he flails at empty air. He's like, "Hey," he swings. And the catcher says, "What's the matter with you, Standish? I must have slipped, but I'll get the next one." Stan winds up in an unorthodox fashion. "This is going to be even easier than I expected." Twice more, Jack Standish misses those streaking balls. "Wah, wah. Hey, say, maybe that kid over there is okay after all." And Fletcher's like, "He just has luck. Wait till he faces the other batters." But Stan strikes all the other batters out just as easy. They show a little montage in one panel of three guys waving haplessly at these balls. Out, out, out. Now Fletcher's like, "I take everything back, Dvorak. You've got great possibilities. Gee, you mean it? We could use a marvel like you." "That's all I wanted to hear." And Superman jumps away. He's like, "That's all I needed to hear. I don't need to hear the end of the story. Goodbye." So Superman jumps away. Back in Metropolis, Perry White, again, still smoking. Now a big giant cigar. He's looking at some papers and he says, "These dispatches from Lauderdale about Raven's new discovery make interesting reading." Back in Florida, under Fletcher's expert tutelage, Stan rapidly assumes polish. What in the hell does that mean? So now he says, "Clark Kent gave me my first break. I'd appreciate it if you let him back into training camp again." They don't call it spring training. They call it training camp. And he says, "Whatever you say, Dvorak." I guess this is him asking his manager, can Clark come back? And they say, "Sure, kid. Let that Kent guy back in." So when the playing season begins, the headlines are packed with praises for Stan. Raven hurler, sensational. Dvorak hurls no-hit game. He pitches a two-hit shutout. He strikes out 18 men. Stan becomes the idol of the fans, and it goes to his head. Now he's yelling at other players, "If you haven't been busy taking bows today, we might have won the game." Players are yelling at him for bowing. He says, "I'll win the next game single-handed. See if I don't." Dvorak is often involved in infights with his teammates, so he wants to fight teammates. They show guys like really pointing fingers at each other and balling up fists. And Clark and Lois, I guess they're back in Metropolis now. Oh, I guess everyone's back in Metropolis because the season started. It's a pity, Clark, to see the way that young pitcher is ruining his career. And they're like, "Shh, here he comes now." And Clark says, "Hello," but he just keeps on walking. He goes, "Can he be that? Can you beat that? He snubbed us cold." Clark's super sensitive hearing overhears. Stan seems to be in a nice suit now. He's got his hair all coiffed up and he's with some pretty looking blonde lady. And he's talking to the woman. He says, "Do you think it was wise for me to cut them off like that after all?" She says, "Continue to do as I say, my boy. We be nice to the right people and you'll go places. You'll really go places." I tried to do a squeaky voice for her, but I can't do it. She reminds me of the actress who was married to Jackie Gleason in the film The Toy. You know, the one is like, "You ass." That's who she reminds me of. I don't know the actress's name, but that's who she reminds me of. He says, "Gee, Mabel, your advice has got a lot of people sore at me, but I trust you implicitly." So Stan, he's new to being famous. He's new to playing baseball. He's new to getting pretty women's attention. And it seems like this lady is taking him for everything that he has to offer. She says, that's the way to talk. Leave all the brain work to me. Clark. Now we see Clark and Lois together, and Lois says, Clark, that girl Mabel Dawson has been seen everywhere with Stan. It's my opinion that she's responsible for his change from a nice kid to a conceited lug, and you're going to do something about it. Clark's like, me? What? Huh? What could I do? She says, make a play for her. Steal her away from Stan. Let him see how fickle she is. Then maybe he'll come to his senses. He's like, but how could I do that? Romancer, idiot. Shower flowers, jewelry, theater tickets, attention, anything to keep her away from Stan Dvorak. Okay, again. Clark is like getting involved with the personal lives of baseball players. Why exactly? I don't know. But now he needs to try to woo away his girlfriend so that Stan becomes a nicer boy. I don't know. Later that evening in Mabel Dawson's apartment, she's on the phone saying, some reporter named Ken sent me a ton of flowers and a note saying he's calling tonight. What do I do, Mike? See, when he's calling, I think that's like a gentleman calling, meaning he's coming over. So she's on the phone with some guy named Mike. He says, string him along. I'll send a couple of the boys. They'll know what to do. So she seems to be caught up with some dude named Mike. And based on the voice I use, Mike doesn't seem like he's a good guy. That's just my guess. So now Clark shows up at her house, Like, I mean, again, that's a little forward, don't you think? So she opens the door and says, so you're the one who's been sending me all these lovely flowers. Step in. He's like, you mean now? She says, and why have you suddenly been so delightfully nice to me? Poor little me. He says, because I am. He grabs his collar. He's like, young, young, young. I kind of like you. At that moment, the door bursts open and these two thugs come in. They look like twins, just in different outfits. At least one of them is carrying a gun and he has a nice little bow tie on, though. So it's like at least he dressed up for the occasion. They're like, okay, you get going. The other one says, you're coming with us. Clark's like, what does this mean? And Mabel says, it means that if you thought you were going to get away with anything, you've got another thing coming. Clark is forced to accompany these strong-arm men on a ride. And Clark's like, you'd better not harm me. That's up to the boss. Your fate's in Mike's hands. Ooh, your fate's in Mike's hands. No one's ever said that about me. I've never had anyone's fates in my hands. I've had other things in my hands, but I'm not going to go into that. Later, Clark is led into the presence of Mike Caputo, big time gambler. What is happening to Clark in this issue? So Clark says, why have you had your men bring me here? And Mike Caputo says, I want to know your angle. Why did you really make a play for Mabel? I don't know what you're talking about. I have no time to waste on you. Slaps him. Boom. Again. Clark's been slapped twice and punched once in this issue so far. I mean, you'd think these guys' hands would be broken. I'm trying to think who Mike Caputo looks like. And he's got like greased back hair, but he almost looks like a beefier version of that character you'd see on The Simpsons. But it's a spoof on The Simpsons. The guy who's like, yes, who answers like, you know, works in the hotel or something. That's what it kind of reminds me of, but in like a tough man version of that. So they take Clark, they lock him in a room, and Mike says, we'll attend to him later. Right now, there's something else I got to attend to. Let's get out of here. Within the room, Clark quickly removes his outer garments, transforming himself to Superman. Mike isn't the only one who wants information. Only I aim to get mine now. As the thugs emerge from the home, a colorfully costumed figure crashes down before them. Ah, get him! It's Superman! So they're going after Superman, which always seems to work well for these thugs. But as the thugs, oh, look, he calls them thugs too in the comic book. But as the thugs charge Superman, he moves irresistibly forward. Ooh, it's irresistible. They careen off him as though striking a solid wall. And then the guy Caputo says, "Let me go." Superman says, "Not yet." Up into the air hurtles Superman with the shrieking captive. "Yee, I can't stand heights." Superman says, "That's fine. Then maybe we can save a lot of time." So they go to the top of a tree. Superman is standing on the top of a tree and holding this dude up over his head. And he says, "You know what I'm capable of doing, Mike. Do I have to put you through the works? Or, oh, my head, the dizziness, I'll tell you anything. Why are you and Mabel interested in Stan Dvorak?" And Caputo spills his guts right away. He says, we plan to get the kid under our thumb, get him to invest enough dough into our legitimate business, then tell him that unless he threw games we'd bet on, that we claim he really got his investing profits from throwing games." Wait, what? So they're not gambling and using him. They're saying, okay, we get him to invest in part of our business, in our apparently illegitimate, and there's quotes around legitimate investment. Okay, it's get him to invest. So now let's say he puts $10,000 in. I don't know what a lot of money is in 1942. Then tell him that unless he threw games, we'd claim he really got his investment profits from throwing games. So now they're saying, what? I'm confused. But he could show the paperwork that he invested in something, couldn't he? Or maybe he'd ask for a receipt, perhaps. And is he throwing games? Is there proof that he's even losing and throwing games? It seems like a weird. So unless he throws the games, they're going to claim that he's throwing the games. That doesn't seem like a well thought out plan. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Meanwhile, Mabel's still back with, what has he got? All this paper in her hands. Oh, look at, she says, you better be a smart lad and invest in these securities, Stan. He's like, I don't know much about these, but I suppose you know best. Right at that moment, Superman shows up at the window with Mike in his clutches, sticks his head through the window and says, "On the contrary, Stan, if you pay any attention to her, your career will be ruined." Mabel's like, "What?" Stan says, "Superman, but I thought Mabel had my best interest at heart." "Disillusion him, Mike." And Mike's like, "Mabel and I would take you for a ride, kid." So then at that moment, Mabel pulls out a gun and says, "You double-crossing rat." As Mabel fires, the Man of Steel leaps in, receiving the bullet upon his impervious skin, and snatches her weapon away. And it looks like to me that she ends up shooting Superman right in the head. Superman jumps in front of Mike Caputo, takes the bullet off the head. It just bounces off and he goes, "What a temper. I'd advise you two to pack up and leave town within the hour. If you're not gone by that time, we'll have another visit from me." And she says, "We'll scram." So I'm just going to throw this out here. There's probably a mobster, some sort of criminal. And this woman, she's a criminal. She tries to defraud this person, then blackmail him. Then there's attempted murder. A firearm is shot. A bullet bounces off of Superman's head. And he's like, "Oh, my God, you guys are so angry. You got an hour. Get out of here." And just lets them go. He lets them go. Pick them both up. Bring them to jail. Take 5 minutes to explain. And then you can get Stan to the baseball game. Because it seems like that's what's the most important. They're like, "We'll get out of here." They leave town. Never to be heard of. No problem. No issue. Superman lets them go. The very next panel, Superman is plummeting down to the baseball field. He says, "I'd advise you to sticking to baseball, Stan, and remain the likable chap you were." And Stan's like, "I'm grateful to you for opening my eyes." Weeks later at the ballpark, the final panel, Clark and Lois are watching the game. Lois says Stan's his old self again, and it looks as though he'll win the World's Series almost single-handed. Yes, it says World's Series, like it's possessive. "But Clark, how did you get Mabel to release her grip on Dvorak?" Clark says, "One look at me and she forgot Stan exists. You underestimate my romantic appeal, Lois." The end. And that is Action Comics 50. You know, I feel like today, if a comic put out issue 50, it would be more of a tentpole. Is that the right word? It would be more of an event. Definitely issue 100 would be, but we're only halfway to 100. But issue 50, the whole story was kind of lame, but it's really a kind of sign of the times, where baseball is huge in the 40s, right? So it's no surprise that at some point they're going to do some sort of issue on baseball. It's just this one was kind of meh. I mean, it could have had like the baseball field and someone's going to blow up the World Series. A giant bomb is planted all over the stadium and Superman has to go around everywhere. Meanwhile, Lois is there to do the story, but she gets stumbles onto it. I mean, you know, the usual stuff. Instead, they're like, let's try something different. Let's try. They accidentally stumble upon a guy who can pitch, but he's kind of a dope. Clark sees something in him because he reminds him of being a farm boy. They don't say that. They don't even touch on that. But I'm adding that Clark's like, you know, I had a lucky go of it when doing farming. I'm going to help Stan, does the yard, you know, does the whole field, then gets him to try for baseball, almost screws it up because Clark is busy writing stories about players that they don't want printed, which I think back then writers and reporters and players were more simpatico. You know, they'd be like friendly with them, so they wouldn't post the, you know, salacious stories. But that almost got Stan in trouble. Luckily, Superman wasn't going to, you know, take no for an answer. Ends up kidnapping Stan off of the train, brings him back. Stan is good, so good that starts getting cocky, so good that he starts attracting the local, you know, ruffians, which leads to a investment scam that Superman then says, no investment scam, no shooting me, off you go. They just leave town to go do it again they'll go to a minor league team or something. You know, they'll just travel. Mabel and Mike Caputo are definitely somewhere in the 40s, in 1942. They're somewhere right now, you know, there, I should say, right then, repeating their ill will, doing their crime again. No doubt in my mind. But that's it. That's issue 50, Action Comics 50, Reaction Comics 50, I want to say 51, because we did do a Christmas episode, but that's a bonus episode. So, wow, we finally got here, and I finally got here. I don't know if my voice sounds different at 6:24 a.m. in the morning, but I want to say, right, so I tried to make the editing seamless. Hopefully it worked out. The show started last night, somewhere around the where Superman kidnapped Stan. I had to stop recording for a bit. And then not long after that, was it when the ruffians showed up? They showed up, the hoodlums, the thugs. When they showed up, I had to stop again. And at that point, I passed out. I fell asleep. I was Dunsky for. So the rest of the episode was recorded the following day. So I have morning voice. But that always makes things a little smoother, a little more, you know, cooler. Maybe my voice sounds a little smooth jazz. I don't know. Maybe it sounds no different. I have no idea. But I'm very happy to finally have gotten this issue talked about, this episode done. So people are finding the show. I don't know if they're stumbling just upon the latest episode and that's why the numbers go up, but I am excited whenever I see people find the show. So I really appreciate it. But you can also find me on places like social media. I don't care what Elon changed the website to. It is Twitter to me. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and Threads at Geek Mentality, and also on Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. No. Geek Mentality on Blue Sky too. I forgot. So Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Mastodon.social, Geek Mentality. All one word. The show has a podcast, has Instagram Reaction Comics, has Threads Reaction Comics. I think that's it. You know, I don't post there as much as I used to. I really used to post there a lot. I kind of miss it, but That's something that was like an extra little task to get those posts put together. And I got to do it again, but I don't. I haven't done it in a while, but you can still follow me there. And we have a Facebook page called Fans Not Experts and the YouTube channel. If you like listening to stuff on YouTube, Fans Not Experts is the place to go. So Twitter, youtube.com/@fansnotexperts. That's it. I'm done. Everyone have a happy week. Have a wonderful day. And if you're watching baseball today, enjoy it, because you never know. Maybe one of those players accidentally got approached to you know, invest in something and then get threatened that they had to throw games. Otherwise, they'd be accused of throwing games. I don't know. It seems like an easy enough scheme. Doesn't seem silly at all. That's it, my friends. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And until next time, remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So long, super friends. Ta-da! I actually say ta-da. Fans Not Experts.